Empower, What Happens When Students Own Their Learning by John Spencer and A.J. Giuliani. Changing One Thing. If you grew up in an education setting like we did, then you spent much of your time being actively compliant, trying to navigate a system that was designed to produce people who followed the rules and waited to be told what to do. Then you graduated, and you waited for someone to tell you what to do. However, times have changed. Our world wants go-getters. It wants decision-makers. It wants designers, creators, and dreamers. We don't have to change the entire system in order to give our students a different experience. Instead, we only need to change one thing. We need to shift our mindset from compliance, students must follow the rules, and engagement, getting kids excited about our chosen content, curriculum, and activities, to empowerment. 6 Learning Truths. 1. Every child deserves to own their learning. 2. Every child in your class is someone else's whole world. 3. Stories will always shape us. 4. The only thing you can prepare students for is an unpredictable world. 5. Literacy is about learning, and learning is about unlearning and relearning. 6. As teachers, we have a huge impact on our students' lives. Why choice matters in school. Choice drives students' ownership of their learning. This kicks empowerment into high gear, and ultimately leads to learning that's intrinsic, powerful, and deep. But choice doesn't have to be given every time with pure freedom. Limitations often inspire more creativity. To reinvent school, we don't need to scrap the entire system. Instead, we need to change our focus from rigor to vigor. Choice, whether completely free or with limitations, is what will drive our students to learn deeper. And it may bring us back to why we loved learning in the first place. It allows us to do things we can only dream of doing. From a tour guide teacher to creating maps. The tour guide model of a teacher leads students through the content. During his first year of teaching, John has fallen into the tourist trap. Each lesson was a carefully packaged presentation, where John would entertain his students and point out areas of interest. A few students might ask questions and, on a good day, they'd have a discussion. But they never left the tour bus. They stuck tightly to the routes spelled out by the curriculum map, stopping every few days to take on a new standard and tackle a new objective. John was a tourist teacher. Then everything changed. It was a lame duck week during state testing. John had one social studies class for 3 hours each day, and they didn't have a curriculum map. So, he asked his students a simple question. What do you want to make? After a short class discussion, they landed on a documentary project about immigration. Students formed small groups and began researching the topic. But things didn't go smoothly. A few students didn't finish their parts. John and his students never launched it to a real audience. Some of his highest performing students were more frustrated and more afraid than ever before. They had never failed like this. A few kids were in tears when they couldn't get something to work. Still, something did emerge from this mess. His students were different. Students who had never turned in their homework began voluntarily shooting videos of immigrants in their neighborhood. Students who had never asked questions in class were asking hard-hitting interview questions. Students who had once told him, "I'm not very creative," were setting up storyboards and editing videos. They were making history by recording interviews, adding their own scripts, finding visuals, and then working collaboratively with other teams to create one larger documentary. They were also empowered. They were excited. They were passionate. They were creators. Everything changed. But the secret ingredient wasn't a new make space or fancy studio. It wasn't a new program or a district initiative. No, the secret ingredient was freedom. Without the curriculum map, John and his students were forced to go off-road. And although the road was rocky, it was also an epic adventure. Students own the process. Students decide on the destination. Instead of sticking to the same rigid routes, let students explore the content. Students would work at their own pace. Students would select the tools. Students would select the learning targets. The entrepreneurial learner. We spent the last few years interviewing entrepreneurs in a wide range of industries. The two questions we've asked each time have been, what do you wish you had learned in school? And what are the required skills to thrive as an entrepreneur? Over time, we've come to believe that it's less about a set of transferable skills and more about a mindset. This is why we've started asking, what does it mean to think like an entrepreneur? The most common answer is, you have to be a self-starter. Students need to be self-starters. Students need to be self-managers. We often use the expression self-directed learners to describe a similar mindset. That phrase encompasses being both a self-starter and a self-manager. The self-directed learners, encouraging students to be self-starters. 1. Inspire them. Students will take initiative when something matters to them. 2. Provide the tools. When teachers provide the tools, students are able to take the initiative and build something, learn something, or pursue something that had previously been unimaginable. 3. Model the thinking process. Show your students how you are self-starting in your own life. 4. Affirm it. Point out when you see students taking charge and self-starting their own learning. The self-directed learners, self-managing. The second half of this mindset is self-managing. It's the idea of following through on your plans and continuing with tasks even when nobody's looking over your shoulder. 1. Set goals and chart progress. Self-management begins with a sense of awareness regarding what you're doing, where you're going, and what you plan to do next. 2. Breaking down tasks and setting deadlines. Self-managers are able to take a larger task and break it down into subtasks and eventually deadlines. 3. Choosing strategies. Self-managers are able to determine what strategies they'll use in order to complete their tasks. This requires real projects. You can't learn this type of self-management with packets of worksheets. If we want students to develop this mindset, they need to work on projects, real projects, the kind of projects that matter to them. And that's why students need to own the creative process. Every student is a maker. Innovation is driven by a sense of purpose and meaning. It's what happens when you say, there's got to be a better way. And then you experiment to take creative risks and see what happens. It's what happens when you ask, why not? And challenge the status quo because there's a problem you care deeply about, and you're determined to solve it. Owning the creative process. Sometimes, creative work requires structure. Structure isn't a bad thing if it promotes students' choice. Sometimes you need a framework for creative work or a roadmap to help you along the way. You still get to make the decisions, but the structure actually amplifies the creative work. This is why we're passionate about design thinking. It's a structure that empowers, rather than limits, student ownership. Assessments that empower. Assessment is everywhere, but assessment is something we do, not something we give and take. So, how do we make assessment more like life, intrinsic, interdependent, fun, and relevant, and less like school, extrinsic, dependent, boring, and irrelevant? The answer lies in student ownership. When students own the assessment process, they're able to figure out the following: what they already know, what they don't know, what they want to master, what they will do to improve. Self-assessment. How can students assess their own learning? 1. Tracking goals. Students create their own goals and then they keep track of the progress. It might mean a graph, a progress bar, or simply a description of progress. 2. Self-reflections. Students answer reflective questions about what they're learning, where they're struggling, and what they need to do next. Checklists. Students can use a checklist to determine project progress, to assess prototypes, or to make sense out of processes. A part for the teacher. As teachers, we can still empower students during our teacher-initiated assessments. One method is through one-on-one conferencing. The concept is simple. Plan out 3 to 5 mini-conferences per class period. Each conference lasts about 5 minutes. This generally allows you to meet with each student individually once every 2 weeks. Assessment moves from a teacher-directed monologue into a back-and-forth dialogue. The shift from failing to failure. In real life, we try something. It doesn't work out, we mess up, and we have to keep moving on. But failure has finality to it. Failure is permanent. Failing, however, is temporary. It's all about the process. What we really want for our students is not for them to fail, but for them to get back up and try again. We want them to revise and iterate based on what they learned from failing, all on a path to real success. Failure doesn't include grit, resiliency, and the can-do attitude that make learning contagious. It's a small change to a powerful world, but we hope it's one we can look through at a learner's eyes. It's a small change to a powerful world, but we hope it's one we can look at through a learner's eyes. Tell a story. You may have missed it along the way, but your class has a story. We eat, live, and learn with our students for almost 10 months. We watch them fail. We watch them grow. We see them connect and collaborate. We help them create and build. Yet, as the school year comes to a close, it's time to look at your class story, because every class is different, and every story has a different ending. Each story has a character with a problem. The character gets a guide who gives them a plan and calls them to action that either results in comedy or tragedy. As a teacher, we're often the guide who calls the character, the class or student, to action. However, we can also sometimes point the character to a different guide. It doesn't always have to be us. It could be someone who may be able to help better for various circumstances. You can't take away. Projects come and go. Technology changes. Ideas go in and out of style. But there's something you can't take away, and it's the mindset that students develop when they define themselves as makers. When it happens, lives are changed. The world is different, and the world is better.